You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Week 17 edition of this Saturday show. And Week 17, as always, is an interesting time in fantasy sports. We do some reflection. Still a few of you out there that are still alive and some playoffs, maybe doing some two-week formats, or you're in a league that runs it a little bit old school, still using Week 17. Not a great week to do it. We obviously discourage that whenever we can because there's just far too many players resting. But to those of you that have titles in your back pocket or a medal around your neck or a trophy over your head, however you want to phrase it, congratulations. And thanks for joining us to listen for the next couple of hours. It's going to be a little bit different today. We'll talk about some of the games. Obviously, there's some useless games in there. But, George, first of all, I want to bring you in and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you, too. And, of course, the man behind the glass, Pete Contadori. We wish I think we wish Pete a happy holidays, right? I think we can do that to Pete.
Of course, yeah. I would like to do that. He only works entire weekends for us and for the network. So kudos to him and the happiest of holidays. How was your holiday, George?
It was good. It was no problems. Everything went well. Kids were happy. They got their gifts. Family got here. Good food. Good friends. Good family. A good holiday. I hope yours was as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it went well. Kids were happy, so I got little kids, so they were really pumped about Santa Claus and all that good stuff. So happy to be around them and family. Got to shut it down for a couple of days, and here we are, back talking football. Obviously, Todd Gurley was a big part of championships, George. I saw, unfortunately, that you did not pull out a win in our Dynasty League, but I'm wondering how you fared in some other leagues.
I got Gurley twice. Things didn't go well for me. Nope, no championships this year. Like I said, Gurley killed me in two leagues, so just didn't go well. And that one league that you're talking about, I don't even know what the final score was. It's 5 p.m. Sunday during the Fantasy Football Live. I
stopped. Annihilated. You got annihilated.
And that's Scott and I, Scott Engel and I, we hosted the second half of Fantasy Football Live. If I'm gonna lose big.
Yes,
I mean, if I would have just started this guy, if only this would have went. No, I got destroyed. So if you're going to lose big. I mean, I feel fine. I never looked at the score again at the 5 p.m. I don't know what the final score was. I know I had no chance of winning. It just didn't matter.
Yeah, you didn't have to say, well, if I'd started this guy or had started that guy, we would have been okay. I might have been okay. It was all done. You were just
I could have picked my top 20 players after the fact on Tuesday and still lost.
You could have used your entire bench in that league and still lost. I mean, you could have used all 40 players, and I think you would have been done. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I was able to bring home a title, and I want to talk to everybody about that roster because it's interesting in the manner of ways in which you can win. It's not all about Todd Gurley, but George and I will come back. Happy holidays to everybody. Join us next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts. It's the Saturday edition. Doing a little recap, a little reflection, and obviously updating you on the news. We'll get to injuries and the players that are resting in the next segment because I think it's probably important for those of you that are playing. It's actually been difficult, George, to figure out
in some instances who is resting. Some teams are playing it coy. Some teams are coming right out and saying, we're done. We're locked into our seat, and that's where we want to be, a.k.a. the Rams. So we'll get to that in the next segment. But to talk about a little bit about, obviously, you got Todd Gurley a couple of times over. I think I read somewhere that he set a record for fantasy points in a playoff run in a 14 through 16 stretch. I think he tallied the most points ever in like a PPR scenario. So clearly a big part of people's titles, and obviously an impressive run for him in the Rams.
Oh, absolutely. He won a lot of people a lot of money. Not because I have much doubt about that. He had a great tweet, too, right? You're welcome, yeah. Fantasy owners. Now leave us alone. That was pretty funny. At least acknowledging them. I said he had a great run. He was hot and extremely hot. He was getting the job done, as Tony Sincotta would say. Unfortunately, I had zero shares of Todd Gurley.
Same. There was one league where I really heavily debated him versus like Dalvin Cook, I think it was. And I went with Dalvin Cook, and that looked good for about 2 weeks. And anyway, it all went down the tubes after that. So remember last week we were talking about, you were like kind of surprised that I had this team in the championship game with a kind of a mishmash of players. Well, I ended up winning. And thankfully my opponent, who had the Eagles defense, did not overtake me on that last play. But I'll tell you, it won people some leagues. The last play of that Eagles game, the lateral back and forth, and then the not kicking the extra point had gambling implications. But I saw our old friend Adam Ronis, who's on Sirius XM, he won a championship because of that last play.
He had, I believe, he beat Truck, right? John, I think John Paith, a popular guy on my Twitter feed. Is there any worse way to lose? I mean, really, worse way to lose than that? Think about also, this is how negative we are, by the way, because we point out the negative. Not all the people who would have won because of that, but the people who lost. But think of the people who also lost because Elliot didn't kick the extra point. You may have lost by 0.5. You know, so it's just funny how that worked out. It's the first thing I thought of, too, watching the game. And seeing, I'm like, oh my God, that just determined thousands and thousands of leagues. I felt like it was a popular
defense. And there were plenty of people. There were plenty of people who had the Eagles like -9 or -9.5 and needed that extra point to not push or to win the bet. It just didn't happen. It was a really wacky into
bad
the game.
Beats, obviously, man. Bad beats.
Yeah, we've seen that kind of stuff before, but that is a particularly bad beat. I guess though, if you pushed on it, it had to feel like a win. But anyway, going back to this league that I'm in, so I went up against the Eagles defense, and I was up by enough at that point that it didn't factor in. But it was a 2QB league. Derek Carr, who was terrible the other night. Roethlisberger, obviously, was real good. Zeke Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, Jameson Crowder, T.Y. Hilton, who you and I talked about last week. I ended up starting him because of some other injuries. He had a really nice game. Jarvis Landry, Eric Ebron, and Keelan Cole, who were two guys that I'd picked up last week just for matchup purposes to try and bring them in, see if they could score some points. They combined for like, I think it was 36 points they ended up getting. So it just goes to show you there's kind of more than one way to skin a cat, and making waiver wire moves down to the last minute can be helpful. I mean, certainly Ebron ended up being big. If I had not played Cole and I had played some other guys on my bench like Ted Ginn or somebody else or Tevin Coleman, I would have been fine. But the Ebron thing was a nice shot in the arm. It helps to have Chris Boswell as your kicker, too, down the stretch. And the Bears defense didn't do so bad. So it's a really, like, when you look at the roster, you're like, wow, that looks like a championship roster. You would not think that at all. But it ended up working out. You know, there's sometimes it just works out. I don't think the team was bad, but it wasn't the team that had Todd Gurley, and it didn't have Carson Wentz for a period of time, and I didn't have Le'Veon Bell or a host of other players that brought people championships. But sometimes you just piece it together with enough guys that did well enough that it ends up working out. So just kind of a funny team.
Yeah, like I said, sometimes it does work out for you. We all know when we don't have a great team, they end up winning anyway. It's football. Mm-hmm. You make the playoffs, you get hot at the right time, and you can win. It's just the way it is. You a guy or two to get hot, or just a guy or two to get hot each week. You don't need someone to get hot for 3 weeks, right. Just a guy to carry you through. Or the other team you're playing, you know, they have guys who don't play well, have bad matchups. You know, it goes downhill from there. And you mentioned it's an interesting little phrase, more than one way to skin a cat, but it's very true. There's no right way or wrong way to win a league.
Yeah. And kudos to Jamie Calandro, who I played in the championship game there. He had a really good season, and, you know, just comes down to that one game. But there are a lot of championship games in general. Last week, there wasn't tons of scoring in fantasy. It was a little bit of a depressed week. Not that you didn't have players with big performances, but on a whole, a lot of the scores that I saw were kind of depressed throughout. And I saw in one fantasy league that I'm in, the championship game was like a 77-74 final in a league where 125 is where you want to be to get a win. So they, you know, it was a pillow fight in the end, but just kind of funny how those types of leagues work out. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about news, because there are actually some big news stories, and one I just saw as we were coming on air is Devontae Adams got inked to a big extension, 4 years, $58 million. He'll be with the Packers for a while. I think it's obvious that he – well, here's what I'd ask, George. Going into next year, would you consider Adams to be the number one over Nelson? I think he proved to be that this year, but with Aaron Rodgers absent for effectively 10 games – I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do you think that remains the case as we go into 2018?
I think you'd have to go that direction, yeah, because you have to ask yourself what happened to Nelson. You know, and there's also news, by the way, that Nelson could be released because they're going to ask him to take a pay cut. You know, I think that's going to happen. He's 32 years old currently. He'll be 33 before next season starts, so that's getting up there a bit. So you wonder what's going to happen there. The Packers may need to save some money against the cap. So I think so, yeah, but I mean, you're judging it off one game after Rodgers came back and Nelson still didn't have a good game, even in that game with Rodgers. Yeah. So is it Rodgers? That's the reason why he didn't have a good season, because Rodgers went out and he's the man for Rodgers, or is he declining all of a sudden? Yeah. So I don't know what to think here. Yeah, that's the problem. Because with Rodgers, you know, he had his normal numbers. Week 1, 779. 1, 652, 2. He did have 6 touchdowns at Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, so, what are we thinking here? So, yeah, I think I still would take Devontae Adams, because he's proven to be number one there. But I don't know if I'd have Nelson all that far behind, assuming he does come back in Green Bay.
Yeah, the good news is we're going to have a lot of time to figure this all out. I did talk to somebody this week that had to put their keepers in like before the regular season is over. So like they have to have their keepers in basically. But I know they have to have their keepers in by tomorrow. Considering all the moving parts that happen, I would encourage that person to change those rules. But it is what it is for now. They can change it maybe for next year. But so something like that. You could have you'd have a head scratcher with Jordy Nelson. So we talked a little bit about Black Monday last week, and there's actually been some updates since last week. We thought Todd Bowles might be gone. He just got extended along with GM Mike Maccagnan, who that organization, the Jets organization, really seems to like. They're both extended through 2020. So Todd Bowles will be back. Dirk Cutter, who I thought was done, says he'll return to coach the Buccaneers next year. They're 4-11 currently. There's a variety of different things that you could point to that didn't go well for them this year, but amazingly, he'll be back. I did not think he'd be one of the. I thought he was one of the guys that had shifted from. Actually, when we wrote this down last week, I thought he was one of the definites. I had the Giants, Cincinnati, Colts, Bears, and Tampa as the 5 definites, and he's going to be one of the guys that's coming back.
It's a shock. I also thought he was a definite. He had problems with Jameis Winston as well. The relationship was bad there. He didn't seem to be that good a coach in the first place. And there was so many rumors that they were going to get Gruden out of ESPN. You know, they get John Gruden to leave his announcing gig, and that he was going to go coach the team again. You know, so the fact that he's coming back is definitely a surprise, to put it nicely. I also had him as a definite goner.
Yeah, so he'll be back, and you mentioned John Gruden. Jay Gruden is expected to be back for Washington. So he was one of the guys that we thought is a possibility just because of the mercurial nature.
He was a weak possibility.
Yeah, I just because Dan Snyder's kind of mercurial, he's not a guy that's easy to figure out. And a pretty good job. I think this is roster construction and not lack of coaching talent. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about that. And what's up with Andrew Luck for 2018? It's Micah George on the Roto Experts. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Roto Experts. For those of you that join us through TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thanks for joining us during this holiday time of year as we talk about Week 17, a little bit of recaps, a little bit of looking forward to next year. We'll get to the playoff scenarios in a moment and injuries, players resting, all that kind of stuff. And speaking of injuries, a story came out this week, which I got to be honest, was less than encouraging. And Andrew Luck believes he'll be ready for the 2018 season. He's playing it coy. He doesn't want to put any timelines on it, which I get. But, I mean, George, we haven't seen this guy in a really long time. And he has not, nobody said definitively when he's even going to be ready to throw football.
I don't think they know. I mean, he said his shoulder is feeling stronger. Okay, it's nice. Until I see you actually do it, I don't think any of this matters. I don't think anybody knows when he'll be healthy, when he'll be back. It's a... Certainly, if you're you mentioned that league where you had to hand in keepers for next year, I don't know if I'd be keeping Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
if I had to make that decision the next couple of days here. I mean, Luck, Wentz, Watson, I probably trust Wentz and Watson more than I trust Luck right now. I think from their ACLs, they'll certainly be ready for the start of next season. Luck, I don't know. It's a weird situation there. I don't know if Luck is still about coming back to it, to the comments that Irsay's made, but it all being in his head and not really physical, that couldn't have gone over well. So, that's concerning to say the least.
The Colts could absolutely, it would not shock me at all if the Colts drafted a quarterback in the first round now just because of all the things that have happened. Yeah. So, I would lean towards saying Andrew Luck's our guy for the future, but I'm not there. You know, we're not doctors. We're not in the room. We don't know how bad it is. We don't know how long he was playing with an injured shoulder, screwing up his throwing motion, making himself worse. We don't know any of that. Just know that the guy's still on the shelf, has not thrown a football. He talked in such vague ways about, yeah, we're getting ready to prepare to throw a football, hopefully sometime soon. It's like, all right, like just call me when you're ready to throw, and then we'll get a somebody will get a camera to show up. But in any event, I hope he's healthy. I like Andrew Luck. I like watching him play. It's just really unfortunate that we're in this scenario. Next story. Giants hire Dave Gettleman. He says they'll likely keep moving with Manning, which was vague, obviously, but it seemed like he was open to the possibility of Eli coming back. Just don't know if Eli will be.
Listen, the Giants have made so many mistakes this year. What's one more? I mean, and honestly, I don't mind Gettleman, but if you're going to hire, why not wait until Black Monday, see who else gets fired, who else gets a job open up? Why not wait to see what else is out there? Are you worried about Gettleman being gobbled up by another team? Okay, I guess that's legit, and it certainly could happen here. I think he'll be fine. He's a good GM there, but once again, I think the Giants has just made truckloads of mistakes this year. I mean, what member of their secondary hasn't been suspended? We could have a little game show here. Apple, It's been a disaster. You got to cut bait with him now? You know, he had to suspend Jenkins out for the year now with the ankle surgery. DRC got suspended. I'm not going to show up to practice this week. It's been a strange situation for the Giants. Eli Manning, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to keep him. But listen, if you're going to draft Joe Rosen or Donald second overall, assuming you get the second overall pick, the Giants win and Indianapolis loses, they would get second, Giants would get three. And by the way, that's when we'll find out how about Andrew Luck. Because if the Colts take a quarterback at three, then you know that's all you need to know about Andrew Luck. I don't know if he'll play another game in an Indianapolis uniform. But as for the Giants, you know, what's going to happen now? You keep Eli. He's got, I think, 2 years left on his contract of $20-plus million a year. I think it's $22 million a year, something like whatever.
Yeah, roughly.
All right, you keep Eli. You draft Donald or Rosen. What's going to happen when the time comes where that player has to get in, Donald or Rosen? You're going to go through all the same thing again about Eli's not being benched for a rookie.
Yep.
Yeah, I think during the offseason, cut bait, move on. Eli's not going to win with Eli. You know, if it's the offensive line's fault, if it's the receiver's fault, Giants aren't going to win here. They need to move on here and avoid the headache that's coming.
Do you think the Giants are in total rebuild mode now?
No, I don't. I mean, assuming they're going to pay Beckham the money, because, you know, once again, that contract's coming up, and you're going to pay him. Then you're not if you're not going to pay him, you've had enough of his antics, too, and you think, oh, I can't win with this guy. He's a head case, which he is. But he's also an extremely talented player. But if you do believe that, well, then don't you have to build around him? I mean, the team is there. I mean, the defense is still good. Yeah, but what are you going to do with Beckham? You got to pay him the 60. We just saw Adams get AAV of 14 point. Yeah, so they're talking that's 14.5 million a year. Man, Beckham's going to get what, 16 to 17 million a year?
Yeah, he'd be
so,
the,
and
he'd
plus
be
a whole lot of guaranteed money. Right, so assuming you're going to pay him, all right, you don't need Shepard can prove he can be an opposite, so you don't need a number one opposite him. You know, you need Brandon Marshall. You got Ingram, but you're going to need to spend a decent amount of money on that offensive line, right? That's got to be rebuilt, or else you're not going anywhere. And then it comes down to the defense. You can let Eli Apple go after 2 years. You know, that top 10, is he a bust? You know, because of his attitude. I mean, Landon Collins called him a cancer. So the Giants have talent. The defense was so good last year. It didn't play well this year, but it was okay for a while until the offense just like sort of buried it. And I think the same thing happened with the Denver Broncos defense. Same situation. The defense is still good, but the offense buried it by playing so poorly. They were still on the field too much. So I don't think the Giants need to rebuild unless they choose. And what I mean by choose is we're not going to pay Beckham. So we're going to be bad for 2 years anyway until that quarterback pays off, Donald or Rosen. So why not rebuild and build around those guys for, let's say, 2020?
Based on the way Darnold played last night in the Cotton Bowl, I don't even know. Was it the Cotton Bowl? I can't remember which bowl it was. I think it was Cotton Bowl.
I think it was the Cotton Bowl, yes.
So based on the way he played last night with 4 turnovers, there's no guarantee that he's even coming out.
He'll be number two.
He would be. Right there. So we'll see what he has to say. Josh Rosen, obviously, a concussion history is something to be considered by the teams picking up at the top of the draft as well. It's funny, this draft class of quarterbacks was extremely highly touted going into the year, and most of them have been disappointing. Baker Mayfield obviously hasn't been, but the other guys maybe didn't quite improve their draft stock as much as others, as the NFL Italian evaluators would have hoped. Rosen played well when he was in there, but 2 concussions in the same season is obviously concerning. So, all good stuff on the Giants there. Let's talk about the playoff scenarios, because I think, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing that we get to do this time of year. So here they are. Let's start in the NFC. The Vikings can clinch a first round bye with a win or a Panthers loss. We go to or a Saints win or a Rams win. So there's a bunch of different ways that they can get in. The Saints can clinch the NFC South with a win. And now I should probably tell you who these teams are playing. Saints are at the Bucs, and if the Saints beat the Bucs, they can get a win. They'll also clinch the NFC South if the Panthers lose. And the Panthers can clinch the NFC South if they beat the Falcons today and the Saints lose. They can clinch a first-round bye if they win. Saints lose, Vikings lose, and the Rams lose. So there's a lot going on there. And the Falcons can clinch a playoff berth with the Falcons if they win, or a Seahawks loss. So the Falcons can actually get in one of two ways. But I'm approaching – that's the one game the Falcons-Panthers game where there's seeding and or playoff implications on the line. Both teams are going to have to play it out. Who do you like in this game?
I mean, it's so tough because, you know, we've seen Atlanta sort of play down before. Now they're in a must-win situation. Well, pretty much is a must-win. I guess they
they're home and they're a 3.5-point favorite. So Vegas in. Obviously seeing these teams as even.
Well, they are about even. You know, but Matt Ryan hasn't played all that well. You know, Carolina, I'm going with Atlanta because Carolina is in. So they know they have a fallback option. They could get in as a wild card and they'll still be fine. Atlanta, you know, lose and odds are you're done. Because I don't see Seattle losing to Arizona. So I'll say Atlanta wins the game. I think they do have more to play for here. Maybe Carolina wants to win, absolutely. But you know, I think they know in the back of their minds, we're in anyway, so we're okay here. I always have to give the advantage to a team that has to win, has no choice here. But it should be a good game here. I think Cam Newton will have to do his thing, run around, make some plays, because his accuracy we know is going to be iffy. Devin Funchess is banged up and go up against Marcus Trufant anyway, so I don't know how much damage he's going to do in the passing game as it is. I think it's all about the running backs for the running game for Carolina between Cam and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Only other team still alive in the NFC is Seattle. They get in if they win. They beat the Cardinals, as George said, and the Falcons lose to the Panthers. Moving over to the AFC side, it's just kind of crazy that the Lions have had this season, George, and they're done, you know, before the season's even out. They're another disappointing team, and I'm starting to think, we talked last week, despite that two-year extension that Jim Caldwell got, I think he might be on his way out for them missing the playoffs. This is a good enough team that they could have made the playoffs, and they fumbled away a lot of games, including last week against a Bengals team that is obviously checked out. They're just trying to get home for the holidays, basically, and they lost that game. It's just a really bad loss.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I don't think he was going to be gone for that, not making the playoffs. But losing to Cincinnati just looks bad. Because as you said, that game team had checked out. They weren't playing well. They were looking forward to vacation and getting the hell out of here. And for you to lose, you know, sort of that, you know, even it may not be his fault. It's more of a team's fault. But to lay an egg in that game, again, you have to win that game. You may not make the playoffs anyway, but you have to win that game. It just looks bad. He's not going to be in my defense fire, but now I think he's a possibility now because of that game, which is silly. But if the owner was thinking, I'm probably going to keep him, and then all of a sudden you do that, now I'm probably going to fire him. You know, I wonder if that switches enough where his job is probably in a little bit of jeopardy. In the end, though, if I had to bet, I think he stays and gets one more year.
So here's their losses this year. They lost to the Falcons 30-26, Panthers 27-24, Saints 52-38, Steelers 20-15, Vikings 30-23, Ravens 44-20, and Bengals 26-17. Now, those last two losses are tough ones, but they didn't lose to any bad teams until last week. Unfortunately, that 8-8 success rate for Caldwell is probably what is going to show them the door eventually. We'll come back after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back to the Roto Experts. Mike and George talking about AFC playoff scenarios now. A little bit more straightforward here, but teams still fighting for it. At the bottom of the wild card race. The Patriots clinch home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs with a win or a Steelers loss. They got the Jets. I think you got to feel pretty good as a Pats fan. Stranger things have happened, but this would be pretty strange if the Pats don't pull this one off at home.
Way to go out on a limb there, Mike.
Steelers have the Browns. I don't know if I'm going to let you comment any more on that because I think that's fair. The Browns are going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not really going to play anybody, and they're still favored, currently favored by 6.5. It opened at 14. Is that right? Yeah, I want to make sure I'm reading it right. Yeah, it dropped down to 6.5 because the news came out about the Steelers resting everybody. I'm sure you get wildly different spreads, but I'm just looking at my typical source here. And it looks like it's down to 6.5 because Ben's not playing, Le'Veon's not playing, Antonio Brown's not playing, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to get the Landry Jones, Fitzgerald, Toussaint combo there in the backfield.
Damn it, the Browns are going to win this week.
You think
this
so?
This is when they break it, right? They have to. Come on, for the love of God. Oh.
No, I'm not ready for the Browns.
Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come
I'm
on.
Not doing it. I'm not doing it.
They lost 13 times in Pittsburgh, or 13 times to Pittsburgh, 13 straight times. So, I mean, if you can't beat no Ben, no Bell, no Brown. Steelers have obviously they have very little to play for. They obviously think New England's going to beat the Jets, so they're not trying. They assume they'll get the second seed here. This has to be it. This has to be where they finally get a win and feel good about themselves in the offseason and justify Hugh Jackson coming back next week.
So the Steelers did this last year. I don't know if people remember, and I remember this very, very vividly. I had the Steelers over 10.5 last year. They were 4-5 after they lost the game to Dallas. They won their last 7 straight, and they won last year. They rested everybody. They tried to give the Browns the game many times in regulation and in overtime, and the Browns somehow screwed it up. They ended up kicking a field goal in overtime, the Browns, to go up, and then the Steelers drove down, and Landry Jones hit a long pass to Sammy Coates on the last play of the regular season. Boom, Steelers win. I get the over. It was a glorious day in my gambling history, in my over-under competition with my friends. Saved myself some money, but in any event, I could see something like that going down again with the Cleveland Browns and losing a heartbreaker to Landry Jones and Eli Rogers as we get deeper into this game.
Yeah, listen, nothing would honestly shock me here, but I'm going to give the Browns a win. Yeah, honestly, the Browns pull this out. Steelers don't care. It's cold. It's going to be a cold, brutal day. Matter of fact, all in the Northeast, man, it's not going to be fun playing tomorrow. What are these, 12, 14 degrees? No, thank you.
Yeah, well, I'll check the weather in a minute. I'm having a little bit of a technical issue here with my playoff scenarios thing that I pulled up. But then what else we got? We got the Jags are currently the 3 seed, right? We got the Jags are the 3 seed. The Chiefs are locked in as the 4 seed, so the Chiefs are going to be resting everybody. Pat Mahomes is getting the start there. So the interesting game, and this is one that matters for me, is Jags-Titans. Now, the Jags played terrible last week. They're not going to want to back into the playoffs losing 2 in a row, even though they're sort of locked into the 3 seed here. The Titans need the win to get into the playoffs, but the Jags have not given any indication that they're going to rest people or any of that kind of stuff. And when Tom Coughlin's at the top of the food chain, you sort of get the impression that the Jags are going to play hard and they can end up winning this game. What are your thoughts?
Well, in my mind, has nothing to do with backing into the playoffs, losing 2 straight. It all goes down to who do you want to play. If you have a Jags, you lose the game, you're playing Tennessee again, in all likelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, so is that what you want? Do you want to play Tennessee in back-to-back weeks in a wild card? If you win the game, Tennessee's likely done, and you're probably playing the Chargers. Not definitely. Obviously, the Chargers have to win. You know, there's other scenarios as well. If Baltimore loses, things get really thrown out the window. But you're probably playing the Chargers from the way it looks. Is that a team you really want to face? You know, I'm thinking no. You faced them already in the regular season. You won the game, but you really got lucky. That was the game where Eichler fumbled that ball later, or the odds of the Chargers win that game. You know, so I wonder about it that way, too. But I also think you're right. Coughlin plays, even when his team's like things clinch up, he likes to play week 17. He doesn't believe in getting that week's rest. He likes to be on a roll. You know, different coaches, different philosophies here. So this is the interesting game, though, because you're absolutely right. Jacksonville has very little to play for. You know, other than that, why would you ever want to play Leonard Fournette in this game? We know he's injured. He's banged up. Why?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you, at the very least, why wouldn't you give him the game off? I think that's the only thing I think is a mistake out of this. I have no problem with them playing to win the game. You know, if you believe in that you need the, stay on a hot streak, erase that pitiful taste of losing to San Fran from last week. If you think that's what you need to do, I have no problem with that. But no way do I play Leonard Fournette or Marquise Lee, for that matter.
Agreed. So I lost all my other stuff here. So the Chargers can get in. They need the Titans to lose and the Ravens to lose, or they can – no. They just need the Titans to lose. Yeah, the Ravens can win. The Ravens have the most possibilities of getting in. So the Chargers need a Titans loss and the Chargers win. So that's basically how it's going to happen. There is a possibility that the Ravens could be out, but they have the most opportunities to get in. So other thing I'll do here with a couple of minutes left is talk about the players that are resting. I'll do the injuries first. The Cowboys put Tyron Smith on IR. That would impact, obviously, any carries for whether it's Zeke Elliott or Alfred Morris or Rod Smith or whomever you want to throw out there. I'm almost of the mindset, if I'm the Cowboys, I know Dez is like going to gut it out and play.
I'd rest
him. The Cowboys, I would just rest everybody. Like, what does it matter?
So would I. Actually, once again, you probably want to lose the game, get a better draft slot. But Jason Garrett, he's one of the guys I wish would be fine. He's not going to be, but I wish they would, as a Cowboy fan, I wish they would let him go. I always say this to myself, when was the last time the Cowboys outcoached the team? I mean, look at their third quarter numbers. Question. They get outcoached at halftime over and over again. But we all know Jerry Jones. He likes if you look really closely, we got HD TVs now. You look really closely at Jason Garrett, you can see the strings in the background. Yeah. As Jerry pulls that puppet. So it's just
he's been like that
I wish
for a long
move
time.
On there.
Yeah.
That's all he hires are coaches he can do that with.
Yeah, Dave Campo and Wade was doing his bidding there for a while, but you're right. I think Jerry, he just likes to run the whole thing, which is not really the best way to go about it. Obviously, you've seen other teams, other organizations struggle when they're getting too involved. But, Jerry's the GM, too. It's just all too much. He's going to have to give it up at some point, loosen the reins at some point to let people run the rest of the organization. But in any event... So there you go on the Cowboys. Washington Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams, I'm bringing this up just because he had surgery. He faces a six-month recovery, so it's pretty long. You wouldn't see any updates on him probably really until training camp in the summer. Austin Seferian Jenkins, doubtful to play. Matt Forte, questionable. Julio Jones, limited in practice, but will play, obviously. So playoff bid on the line. DeMarco Murray not playing. Is that a good thing for the Titans? I think you just give it to Derrick Henry now 25 times.
Well, if Jacksonville's playing, it's gonna be tough for either one of them. But yes, it's a good thing. I've been on board with. I wanted Henry to get the starting job now for at least a month, if not more. I think DeMarco Murray's either he's lost it or he's been banged up most of the season. But he just hasn't had that extra burst because he's looked old and slow. So yes, I think it's a good thing. But you may not really notice it tomorrow against Jacksonville.
We mentioned Devontae Adams earlier. He's not going to be playing. And there's a whole bunch of other guys in the Packers that aren't playing. I think they're doing the right thing. Richard Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Perry, Aaron Jones. None of those guys are playing against the Lions. Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard will not play. So it's going to be really fun to watch the Giants go up against Washington with zero people out there that are recognizable. Tavares King is even on IR. So I guess Roger Lewis.
Start your Redskins. This is Cousins' last game. A possible last game in a Washington uniform. This is last time he put some stuff on the resume for that big contract he wants. I think he lights up the Giants tomorrow.
It's a very good point. It's an interesting point. So on the Giants side of things, I guess Roger Lewis is the only guy left there that can catch a pass. We'll keep
Yay.
Going down. Oh, man, my computer is just killing me today. Sorry. Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham would be out. Steelers center Marquise Pouncey questionable, as much as all the other guys that we mentioned aren't playing due to injury or because they don't want them to get injured. Tyreek Hill officially declared out. Who else? Let's see. Melvin Gordon questionable, but he's going to be out there. DeAndre Hopkins not playing. Due to injury regardless of how serious the injury is to his calf, I think he's not going to play. They just want to rest somebody like that. Best player on the entire offense and maybe on the entire team and a team that includes J.J. Watt. Let's see. Who else we got? Kelvin Benjamin off the injury report. He'll play. Devontae Parker's going to play. Devontae's perfect, doubtful. Yeah, I know. There's just a whole bunch of injuries here I'm trying to get through. We talked about Andrew Luck. Marquise Lee's not going to play, so that's the one guy that is definitely going to sit for the Jags. DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brate for the Bucks. They are questionable. Patriots running backs Rex Burkhead and Mike Gillisley are listed as doubtful to play against the Jets. I can honestly say that doesn't mean anything to me because the Patriots can pull off something pretty unique when it comes to injury reports. Chris Hogan, Devin McCourty, Matt Slater, James White are all questionable, so keep your eyes on Hogan and White if you are owners of them. One thing in Week 17, and Emmanuel Sanders is not going to play against the Chiefs. We obviously have to get to the players that are being rested as well, and we will do that after the break. So hang on. George says start all your Washington players, and you'll be a richer man when it comes to DFS. So we'll talk about that game and the rest of the games in the next hour. We'll talk about the QB carousel that is likely to happen after this season. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back on the Roto Experts, closing out the first hour with Mike and George, talking about Week 17, talking about the year in review, looking forward to 2018, kind of a loose show in that regard. Obviously, if you have any fantasy questions, you can hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, George is at George Kurtz, I'm at Mike Blewett, keeping it simple on Twitter. So hit us up with any of those Week 17 questions. It's possible that you're out there and you're playing for Week 17. We don't encourage it because of all the players we talked about that are resting, which we'll get to in the next segment. But I wanted to give the floor to George first because I'm the resident Steelers fan and I have some opinions on what happened with James Harrison this week. He was released by the Steelers, immediately picked up by the New England Patriots. So George, what are your thoughts on the whole thing? It can be, one could say it's complicated, but break it down for me. What are your thoughts?
Is it complicated? Not really. Steelers released them. New England picked them up. You know, this is what New England does. What sucks about it is how Harrison got released. Assuming all those stories are true, which apparently they are, because they're coming from so many different Steelers players about, you know, he'd fall asleep in meetings and purposely snore loud, trying to be, he was trying to get released. Really trying to get released. I understand. I do like what he said. You know, I'm not here just to pick up a paycheck, you know, and not do anything. He wanted to play. I get it. But to do that, especially for an organization, you've been with most of your career. I understand he left. He wasn't, you know, he played for the Bengals for a while there. I get it. I don't like that at all. I don't. You know, I think, was it Pouncey who said that he's tarnished his reputation there, his legacy there, I think the term he used. I would agree with him. He has. But as far as New England picking him up, really, was this surprising to anybody? Anybody. You know, this is what New England does. Plus, they have a need at the position. You know, they've been decimated at that position. So it made all sense in the world for him to go there. Like I said, I have no problem with New England signing him. I just didn't like how Harrison went about getting released.
I think that's fair. As a Steelers fan, literally the second I saw that they released him, I was like, the Patriots are going to sign this guy. I literally, as soon as I saw it, I just thought, look, he was one of the two players on the entire roster that they can cut. There's another player who got similar number of snaps and maybe even a few less this year, but he's a backup nose tackle. He'd be the only backup nose tackle that they would have. So if they lost the starting nose tackle at some point during this playoff run, they would have to sign somebody off the street, which you don't really want to do at that position, at that juncture of the season. Obviously, they have other linebackers like J.J. Watt and more that can rush the passer and are doing well. I understand that he was frustrated. He can do whatever he wants, and New England can do whatever they want. But if he was doing, if he had all these antics going on, as you said, and as other players have suggested, it's just a bad look. And I do think it is going to hurt his reputation. I do tend to think that things like that over time have their way of sorting themselves out. And I think cooler heads will prevail. But this is a really unique scenario. You're going to their rival right now during a playoff run, and obviously he's going to try and do what he can to get another ring. So if he reveals a secret or 5 or 10, so be it. I mean, that's just the Patriots' way. Some people call them cheaters and say they break the rules, and you could obviously there are situations where that happens, Spygate and others, but they're also bending the rules in every way possible that aren't, that is not cheating. And you can either applaud them or get irritated with it, but it's just what they do, George. They're going to try and get an edge every way that they can.
Yeah, they're not bending any rules here. They're not bending any rules here. And the fact that they're going to get secrets, the Steelers and Patriots are not going to play until a championship game. That's a month. All right? There's no secrets they're going to get here. All right? Mm-hmm. Things can easily be changed by then that Harrison might know. As far as him making a big difference, he's not a very good player anymore. He may only play. He's not going to play that many more snaps with New England than he did with Pittsburgh. He'll be a pass rusher. I'm sure there'll be a revenge factor in that game, but I think this is really overblown.
I agree. He's not going to see the field all that much. As you said, there was a need. Makes sense for them. And you're right. They're not bending the rules. I can't complain about it. The Steelers should have seen this coming if they did want him on the Patriots. We'll come back in the next hour after this.